another man came up blind and died. There were some three, four young women and young girls, little children that were just as cross-eyed, hideously cross-eyed, and were healed right there, and two doctors standing there, right one, both of them right on the right side, checking it, watching it, and checking the patients and so forth, and come to the microphone and testify that it was perfectly. That was a medical doctor, one specialist in San Francisco, California. So God is God. He's still the great I am. Not the I was, I am now, present him. And he's always here to heal to those who believe. But only those who believe are the only ones that's going to be healed, regardless. You've got to believe. If you would, God might permit you right here this afternoon to get up and be crippled and you walk around this platform, you could walk off and doubt that belief in your heart, your condition will come right back to you again. And if you walk off and don't serve him, a worse thing will come back to you again. That's right. You must serve God reverently all your life, believing him with all your heart. And now, we got plenty of time this afternoon because we're going to pray for everybody in the building this afternoon. Because we got time to do it, and then before leaving, I want to pray for everyone before leaving Phoenix. And I won't talk to you very much because I want to put the time in. You've got good preachers here. You've got a fine bunch of ministers. And they preach, and I'm not a preacher in the first place. So you can, these ministers can speak to you. They did this morning in their services. And how many attended church this morning? Let's see your hands. All over the building. Well, that's fine. And how many attended this hand tonight? Let's see your hands. All over the building. You want to go to church tonight? That's fine. That's about one third of you. And I hope you do tonight. I hope you go to church tonight. Go somewhere to church. Don't never miss going to church on Sunday. And for the prayer meetings. And you people who have no church this year who struggle, my advice would be for you to stand at your post of duty just as loyal as you can to the cause of Christ and back up your minister and everything that's going on and for the cause of Christ. And do that, and God will bless you. The only way that you can respect God is to respect one another. Is that right? If you want somebody to say something good about you, you say something good about somebody else. They'll say something good about you. Cast your bread upon the water, it will return to you. As the brother said in Canada today, he said, yes, Brother Brand buttered. So that's about right. See, if you just cast it upon the water, it will return buttered. That's the way it comes back. So you do unto others that do unto you. So that's a good thing to live by. Now, I want to take just a little of time to explain to you a few things that's very essential. And some of the things that I think that hinders our services many places is because of the lack of time of saints. I don't get to stay long enough in the place. Maybe 2 days, 3 days, or something like that. The meeting should stay 30 days. That sounds like a long time. But I've noticed this, that every day that I stay, the next day, if there's a larger crowd, it's more enthusiasm, and each day just builds and builds and builds. And then the healing result is, there's no comparison to the difference. Now, just like in our meeting here at Phoenix, we have one Sunday, the devil gets a chance to smut the mind of the work for and get back again next Sunday. That's right. You've got to take the thing and hit it, just keep driving. You can't tap a nail and then walk on off and let the kids play with it around a while and then come back next Sunday and tap it again. You've got to drive that nail right on home like that, anchored down into the woods. Well, that's the way it is with faith. You've got to get it anchored in the people. They'll run in here one Sunday, just a few moments, they're at reference, I'm going to get straight for it. They'll rush to a prayer line, not even knowing what they're coming to you about. The next week, get around to the critics, say, there's nothing to that. I know Jim Jones' wife is praying for it, didn't help her a bit. That's right. It wasn't for Jim Jones' wife. It's for you who believe. That's for believers. It's only for believers. And remember, if you do not have faith, it will not do you any good. Now, in the first place, this gift was not given to do the work that I'm doing with it now in these auditory meetings. That's not God's divine plan for doing it. The divine plan for God is, if I had the opportunity to stay a few weeks here to explain it all, it comes by revelation. At night time, daytime, when I meet this angel, he'll send me to a place. If they go to a place I've never seen it before, let me give you an illustration, something like it, and you might understand. You are going to a place, just as naturally as I'm standing here. Maybe there's a lady meeting at the door, she has a little red sweater. And in the yard, there lays an old hole, and I noticed that they come in the gate. And there's a Bible laying on the washstand, and there's somebody laying in a bed crippled. Well, now, I go to that house, by and by, I find the place. And when I go to that house, I see the hole in the yard, yes, the lady's a red sweater on me through the door. I go in, but the Bible's not laying on the washstand, it's laying on the desk. Now, I cannot say, thus saith the Lord, I can't tell them, until somebody picks up that Bible and puts it over here on the washstand, not knowing what they're doing. Then you can stand and say, thus saith the Lord. And this will come to you, Brother Branham, if I go get well, I trust you, Brother Sister, this will come to you. How about this? And hear my uncle, over. Why, this will be a while. If you let that keep on your mind all the time, well, you'd soon be in mental case. You see? It would take a few hours to do it. Well, then, I don't know about that. But in these auditorium meetings, the reason that we permit it, there is a great amount of people. Now, this angel, very seldom saying, until some case, but I'm going to come, he sends me to a case. There's more glory received of God there if you have 15 auditorium meetings. That's right. Because you go with thus saith the Lord. And there you have it. Listen, we got plenty of time. I want to tell you just the one case so that you would understand. Just for you to take place, I'll give you the name of the people so you can write it. I've left mother's house. And this happened quite often. And I was praying in the room I was going home because I wanted to be alone there. It felt like I wanted to be alone. Just a burden on my heart to pray. Did any of you ever feel that way? And I just started praying. I went lying down across the bed. And I went to sleep. And I woke up. It must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I still had that burden. I started praying again. And I knelt down on the floor to pray. I looked over in a corner like that. And we're very poor people, and we had a mother who does her washing and brings this up on a chair. I don't know whether you women would ever do that or not. Pile it up on a chair, and it's piled up in the corner. And I thought, well, poor old mother, there's her washing. I see a big white something there in the corner. I said, well, and I hadn't noticed that washing. I hadn't noticed it before, but it looked like that washing was moving up in the air like this. Well, I thought, just in the room, dark, from my eyes. I noticed then either I was going to that washing or that washing was coming to me, a white looking. Come to find out it wasn't a washing in the room, it was a white misty cloud up there in the corner. And here it was coming. Now remember, when I testify this before you people, I'm going to have to answer to that words of the judgment. Now I know there's streaks of fanaticism. God bless your heart, brother, and I'm finding plenty of it. That's right. A pure fanaticism. And it's only the works of the devil to hinder everything he can against God. That's right. And this come right up. Moved right up to me. And I went into the cloud or something. I don't know what taking place. But when I was going to it, I found out that I was going to a little white house. Setting a little long three-room house or two-room house. Kind of made in what we call the shotgun house, kind of a little straight house. Now, I entered the front door, and when I did, I looked to my left, it was, and there stood a red, beautiful chair. There was an old mother sitting in there, a crying. Over to my right was the duopo itself, and a young man was sitting there with blonde, wavy hair. There was a black-headed woman leaning against the door that went out into the kitchen, or the other room, a crying, and looked over here at the bed. A little iron poster bed, and one of the hideous sights I ever seen in my life. A little boy was laying there with a blue corduroy overalls on. And one of his little legs had been twisted just like that, so it was wound against his little hip. And the left one was twisted like that. And each arm was twisted vice versa against his side. And something had been laying on his little chest here, and his little body was twisted up like that. Oh, it was and his father, a tall, dark-looking man, was standing crying over the baby. Well, I said, isn't that strange? I mean, mother's just as strange as not, you're not dreaming. It's not you're having a nightmare. It's just as much reality as I know I'm standing here in Phoenix, Arizona, in this auditorium. More so. And I thought, well, now that is strange. And I started turning always to my right. And when I turned towards the right, standing there stood the angel of the Lord. But that man comes to me. Who he is, I remember. You get this. My brother Brandon Lee. I don't know what his name is. He's never told me. He's a large man. He's way over 200 pounds, I guess. He's human weight. He wears a white robe. He's got dark hair. And he stands just like this. And he's standing to my right. And he said, can that baby live? And I said, sir, I know not. He said, you pray for it. The Father brought it to me. And I laid my hands up on it like this and prayed for it. It dropped out of his father's arms. And it hit on one of those little crooked legs. And when it hit on that little leg, it just went to unwind. First leg unwound. It made another step, and another leg unwound, the left leg. And it got into the corner, and it's made its next step, and his little body unwound. It come walking back to me and put his little hands up in mine. Said, Brother Branham, I'm perfectly whole. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And then that angel walked to my right again. And he picked me up. And I sat down on a little old country road. And standing there, he said, he showed me a graveyard. He said, take the numbers off of this. And I did. He set me down there, and I was at a little place where there was just a little gas station in the store, the yellow front store. And there was an old man walked out with a pair of blue corduroy overalls, or blue overalls with a yellow corduroy cap with my mustache. He said, he'll show you a way. Then he'd take me into a house this way, turning to from the north coming south. And when I walked in there, there's an old stove sitting there. Old wood burner, what they call a chunk stove. I don't think you have it here in Arizona. How many knows what a chunk stove is? Are you from Arkansas? That's where they have one. How many Arkansas are you here? I don't know. So, all right. And they had a pit up there. They've taken this sign down now in the modern home and put a pit up here. I'd rather have the old sign, God bless our home. That's right. And then I noticed in a big brass bed over to my left, lay either a girl or a boy. It had a mannish look, could say, but I thought it had long hair. It had a heart-shaped lip like a woman, and its right hand was like this, and the left leg was twisted and twisted sideways. And I thought, well, isn't that strange? I thought, is that a man or a woman? And I was looking, and I heard something speak to me, and I looked down here, and there stood this angel. Said, now you go and pray and put your hands like this, both straight right across the stomach of this person. Well, I thought it must have been a girl, or a boy, and you know, because if it's a girl, it's a young lady. He told me to put my hands across the stomach of the person. Well, I dared him not to do what he would say. And I put my hands up on the stomach of the person, and I prayed. And when I did, I heard a little voice say, praise the Lord. And I looked and I seen that crippled hand straighten out, this leg come back to its normal condition. I seen it raise up, and when it was, the pajama leg came up high, and it showed the round knee like a girl's, you know how man's knee is, kind of bony like. Well, the girl's knee was round. I see it was like that on her, when her pajama leg raised up, and she was perfectly made well. And about that time, I heard the people sing, oh, thank God. I thought, isn't that strange? I heard somebody call, oh, Brother Branham. Oh, Brother Branham. I thought, oh, Brother Branham. I was coming to myself in the room. I stand right in the middle of the floor. I hadn't been nowhere, but it looked like it right in the floor. There was someone who came in the door, and I said, yes, come in. Somebody, the old door come in, he said, what's the matter? And I said, he was crying. He said, Brother Branham, do you remember me? And I said, no, sir, I don't. And he said, my name is John Immel. He said, about 4 years ago, you baptized me and my family. And said, during the time of the war, up here at the powder plant, I said, I remember you now. You killed a man, didn't you? He said, that's right. He hit my fist and broke his neck in a fight. And said, and I ran away and said, I backslid. And said, last year, my little boy died with pneumonia. Said, I got a little boy left, and Dr. Bruner of our city says he's dying now with pneumonia. And I said, is that right? I said, yes. I said, will you pray for him? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I'm going down to get Grim Snelling. He's my associate pastor now at the Ram Tabernacle in Jeffersonville. He said, that was his cousin. But I'm going to get Brother Grim to come go with us. And he said, the baby said, you know where I live? And I said, no, sir. He said, I live about 4 miles above Meade, Indiana, and this is 7 miles from Jeffersonville. I said, all right, I'll go. He said, well, don't get your car. I'll take in my car. And I said, all right. And as soon as he went out, mother called me. She said, honey, what was the matter? That man just kept shaking and calling, shaking the door. And I said, mother, something happened. I said, I was in a vision. She said, oh, where are you? And I said, she said, is it anything good? And I said, yes, the man's little boy is going to be healed. And so just a few moments, he returned. I got in the car and we started up for the Navy Yard. And going up the road, he said, Mr. Rimmel, I guess it's awfully hard on you being back today. And I said, yes, Brother Rams, I'm ashamed of myself. I seem ashamed to come at you. He said, baby's been sick for about 2 weeks. He said, I was ashamed to come at you. He said, and Dr. Bruner said it was going to die. He said, he left about 2 o'clock. He said, about 4:30. He said he was going to die. So there wasn't nothing to do but come and take the last thing I knew to. I said, Mr. Rimmel, he said, you live above Utica? He said, yes, sir. And I said, you live in a little white house, don't you? He said, yes, sir. And I said, the front door faces the south of it? He said, yes, sir. I said, you have a red billboard in that house, don't you? He said, yes, sir. And I said, you have red baseboards around the side, like his tongue made out of tongue and grease. I said, yes. I said, your baby's about 3 years old, this boy is blue corduroy. He said, was you ever up there? And I said, not in the way that you would think I was. He said, well, Brother Brandon, I said, and the baby's barely breathing. He said, it is. Well, I said, but thus saith the Lord, your baby is going to live. He said, Brother Brandon? And I said, well, he said, how? Well, you never was in my house. I said, I was there just a few moments ago. He said, well, I never seen you, Brother Brandon. I said, no, it was a vision from Brother Brandon. And I said, well, don't worry, your baby will live. He just pulled up the brakes on this old Model T Ford he had, threw his arm around, one around the Brother Grim and one around myself, and I never heard of a man crying with his sore in my life. He said, God, I'm ashamed of myself. He said, I'll never, never go back on you again if you'll just forgive me. And there he gave his heart back to Christ there. And we were there about 15 minutes, and he was crying. He felt that God had forgiven him. He went up, walked into the house. And as soon as I walk in, I see the mother. I hear the word. You can always speak out of turn. Then I brought this case where I almost missed and caused something to happen. You have to watch what you do. And I walked into the room, and there lay the little baby laying there. There was a baseboard. There was a beautiful chair. The beautiful. And the man that was with me was Brother Grace. No, I'm no hurry. The one in a hurry. Not God. Now I said, bring me the baby now if you got faith. And the mother, the baby just barely living. The only way to tell was hold a little piece of fine paper to his nose to see if there's breath coming and going from his nose. That's how bad it was. Well, I've seen that twisting of his body was a pneumonia. It was just dead back there all the way up to here. And I was going to say, if it was breathing, that's what that sign was of the twisting. I said, bring it here. And they brought it over there. And my, when I prayed for it, if anything, it got worse. His little eyes set. His tongue came out. His little head went back. Well, I thought, wait, there's something wrong. I have never in my life seen that fail. Because that's just as true as the Bible. God has already spoken something. There's no way you can doubt that. You don't have to ask the person, if you've got faith that's already pronounced for Almighty God, it's going to happen. And I thought there was something wrong, and I have to think, while there's one person was in the house, nothing was in order. This old mother, and there was nobody there with them glasses on, where was she at? Well, I thought, well, now that, and they took a little baby over there, and there's a choking one. And mother run over to it, and the father, and they begin to work with it and put this stuff over its nose and things. And they both got to scream and let the baby alone. Brother Grimm started working with it. So it's like passing out, just as blue as it could be, and so body is dead like that. Strong, already lungs was congested. They had even swollen up, just pushing this little ribs like that where the lungs were so swollen in the little thing. And that's where it was laying. And I thought, oh my, something, I know that mother wasn't there. Then I knew that I had missed, failed God. Well, they worked with that baby from then until it got daylight, sun came up. I never spoke one more word. I couldn't speak a word. seen him do it before. I've seen everything. So then it got time, and Brother Snelly had to go to work. And so Mr. Emil was still taking it back home. He said, "Brother Branham, do you wish to go?" And I said, "No, sir, I would stay here." And I thought, "Oh God, I pray, forgive me, forgive me." That's when you remember 2 or 3 Sundays ago saying, "No, it's okay when I got done." That's the only thing. Also, I look at humanity and I try to listen to what somebody says instead of waiting to see what God says. You pray for me. That's what I need, your prayer. I'm just opening up my heart to you here today, because, sir, maybe the last time we'll ever meet in life. And then I turned around and I didn't know what to do. He said, "Well, you want to ride down with us, Brother Brandon?" I said, "No, I'll wait here." I knew that if God would hear my prayer and forgive me, there was a chance for the baby, but yet nothing was lined up right. And now that might not seem very much to you, but in the sight of God, it means everything. It's got to be right to the dot. That's right. And he said, "Well, Brother Snelly said, I've got to go because I've got to go work. He's driving a tractor at Kobe down at the Palmolive Peace Company there." So he got on his coat, and I thought, "Oh my, if he leaves, I may have to sit here 2 or 3 days that he comes back," because I knew he was the man that had the blonde curly hair, was in the vision. Well, you don't know how I thought, friend. And you'll never know until we meet judgment. At the day when I'll have to answer for these words I'm saying going through this microphone. And I sat down on the vehicle, and the sun was coming up. It was awful cold this winter time. And I was sitting there, and Brother Emil had on his coat, his big heavy cap, and Brother Snelly had on his coat and wraps, and they were started to go out, and he was talking to his wife, Brother Emil was. And I was sitting at the window looking like this, down, and I happened to notice coming up the sidewalk, a little old path, a little dirt path around the house, and here comes the grandmother of the baby. She had on glasses. You don't know how you feel, man. I thought, oh, if they just don't leave him. I thought, oh, God, how I thank you. And the woman always comes to the front door. That's where they visit, coming through the front door. But that morning, my car wasn't there, just her son-in-law's car. She had left sometimes in the morning because the baby was so bad. And she had one home to get some sleep. And she'd come around to this back door. I couldn't say nothing. I just had to sit there and watch my wife. But you'll never know how I felt when I watched and seen that woman come over. I recognized it to be her. I'd never seen her before in my life. But I recognized it to be her. I seen her pass by like that. Go by and I thought, oh, God. Praise the Lord. Brother's telling her they're all ready to go. And she come in the kitchen door. And come to the middle door and knock at the door. If she hadn't done that, the vision still would have been complete. Her daughter went to the door to open the door to see who it was. And it was her mother. And she said, "How is the baby any better?" And Mrs. Emil said, "No, mother, no." And she just threw her hand up like that to cry, like that, you know, put her head up against the wall. And that's just the way it was with me. Well, I was sitting on the duopole where Brother Snelly was supposed to be. I got up off the duopole, walked over like this, wondering what was going to take place. I thought, she's got to be sitting in this red chair. And I just stood there a little bit, and I wonder, and Brother Snelly, he started crying too, because he'd seen her crying. He just took off his hat and said, "I'm going to do it." I thought, oh my, just one more thing to happen. I looked all around to see where everything was, and I looked over, and the lady, she was old, you know, she'd sit down on her little satchel she had, and she backed over here, sat down on her duopole, tuck off them glasses, and began to wipe them, just exactly the way it wanted to be. Then I could feel something standing near me. I knew he was there. And I said, "Brother Emil," and he looked at me. I said, "Do you still have faith in me?" He said, "Brother Branham, I love you with all my heart." I said, "I'm telling you now, I'm sorry for what I done a while ago. The vision wasn't complete. But now you've got to show that you still got faith in me. If you believe it, the baby was just as blue as it could be." And I said, "If you still have faith in me, bring me the baby. Baby, lucky vision, I'm sorry for what I did a while ago. Forgive your servant and heal this baby in the name of Jesus Christ." And when I said that, the little baby threw his arms around his daddy's neck and said, "Daddy, Daddy." Oh, you talk about a screaming bunch in the house. And then, so they begin to run. I said, "Now put him back in the bed. It'll be 3 days before he's recovered because he made 3 steps frame it out." I went back, reported to the church what had happened. And on the third day, I said, "Now, we won't hear no more about it. On the third day, go up there and see if he don't come across the floor and put his little hands in mine and say, 'Brother Branham, I'm perfectly whole.'" And so then You can about imagine how many went up to see it. The whole entire church. There was cars all up down the road. And I told no one to go. I had to go first, you see, for then the Holy Spirit was coming from God. And they gathered around. I went at the door, knocked the door. The mother was back in the little kitchen. She came running through the house, and she opened the door, and she did. She said, "Oh, it's Brother Branham. Come in, Brother Branham." Said, "Look at the difference of him. He'd been drinking some chocolate milk. He had one little mustache, you know, chocolate milk on him. And he come walking across the court. Everyone was standing there looking through the windows and everything. He walked. I just stood on the floor, never said a word. He walked over and put his little hands up, and I said, 'Brother Branham, I'm perfectly cold.' I began to tell about the rest of it. 2 weeks later, I started out of my office, and usually we have little pigeonholes where we put our mail. But Herbert Scott, very fine man there, and he said, "Brother Branham," he said, "before you go down on my desk over here," I was on patrol, he said, "on my desk is a letter laying for you." I said, "I'll pick it up." And I started down the steps to go down into the main part of the office, as our local office is around the top. I started down, and seemingly something moved me strangely about that letter. I walked over to the letter, to the place, and picked up the letter. I looked around and said, "Turn up, pull it over." I looked at it, and I said, "Well, I'm saved." Looked on there and said, "I'm Mrs. Harold Nail." She said, "Reverend Branham, I've got an afflicted girl that's 16 years old, and said she's been afflicted for some time, and arthritis has set into this affliction, and said she just cries day and night, and said, I belong to the Methodist Church I'll call the name of the place just in a minute. It's below Salem, Indiana. Is anybody here from here, Salem, Indiana? There's somebody back there. What part of Indiana you from, sister? What part of Indiana? Salem. Salem, Indiana. You know Harold Nagel? You know Harold? That's fine. Now, this is the evidence now. How we got it up here. Fine. I want to see you when the service is over. I'll tell you where South Boston. You know where South Boston is? That's all right. Now we got the story lined up for the evidence. The other day I like for people to be near. All right? Now, I brought this letter down and said, I live in Salem, Indiana, or at the South Boston, Indiana, and said, our pastor come down, and he told us we had a prayer meeting, and somebody brought us a little book called Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And said, we were reading that little book about healing, and something moved on my heart to send for you to come pray for this little girl. And it happened to be that when she gave what night it was the same night the baby came to me. See? And I checked with that. I went home. I told the wife, I said, looky here. She said, yes. I said, oh, that's my vision, isn't it? I said, that's it. This prayer meeting that night at the church, I went over. I showed everybody wanted to go. And there's some people there by the name of Grace. Add Grace. I've looked for them many times. They might be in this meeting. Is Add Grace here from Texas? Or anybody knows? They'd come up there to be healed. Mrs. Grace. She's a tuberculosis case. And so they wanted to go. And I said, now, first thing, where is South Boston? Somebody told me where it was at. Well, and I went down below New Albany. You know who's here back there. I went down below New Albany and went way down, and it was New Boston down there instead of South Boston. Well, I never heard of South Boston. I thought, well, now that's strange, isn't it? New Boston. Well, I come back up, and there's an old fisherman by the name of Wisehart down the river. He told me, he said, no, South Boston's way to go up towards Salem, Indiana. So then I went up to Henryville to turn off. They told me to turn off in Henryville, and you know where that road is leading to Henryville, I guess. That was a muddy, muddy road. And so I got back on that little old gravel road and kept going, and there was a little song. And they were Pentecost people, and they were teaching me a song about something about, there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. The fire that fell on Pentecost that cleansed and made them clean. Oh, it's burning now within my heart, oh, glory to his name. So glad that I can say I'm one of them. You ever hear it? Well, they were trying to teach me that song. Now, there's something out there that said something or other about the lame was made to walk and so forth like that. And I just thought that was fine. I said, come on, let's have that again. And we were singing going along like that. And all of a sudden, something that struck me that I almost was paralyzed. And I thought maybe I was sick, and I stopped the car. I was out on top of a little hill. There's a church back over to my left. And I thought maybe it might be the angel of the Lord. I'm passing the church. And I got out and went around behind the car. I had a little old Ford runabout. I put my foot up on the back there to the trunk. And I was standing there. I thought, what it is? I had to look over to my left, and there was a graveyard. She had a piece of paper, and she brought over there, and we checked the names and numbers of the tombstones, and that's just exactly the place. I said, this is the road. We're on the right road now. I said, that was the angel of the Lord. Stop me. I went right on by, not noticed it. See, you know how the Bunker Hill graveyard sets over? Now, I've never been in that country in my life. Know nothing about it. So I went on, just kept on going. I met a man standing by the side of a place where he was, a little filling station. He was rolling a cigarette, and I said, is this the way to South Boston? He said, yes, sir. Go straight ahead. I said, is you know somebody over there by the name of Harold Nagel? Yes, sir. All right. So I just went on. I kept on going. They said, now when I hit the place South Boston, there'll be a man come out throwing a pair of blue overalls. He'll have a yellow corduroy cap on with a white mustache. I said, he'll come out of a little store. It's got a yellow front in it. And so, Mrs. Bray said, well, I just never seen anything like that, Brother Brandt. So I don't know what I'll do. She said, when I think of them names back there, she couldn't get over it. She'd never seen anything like that. And so we went on. I went down. We come around some bends. I got mixed up on the road there. And I said to the fellow, he said, well, you know how Indian is? You jog here right, jog here left. So I must have got the wrong job. So anyhow, he said, go right on straight through this way. Another man stands. He said, you hit South Boston. Just about 4 or 5 miles. And I was driving on, been talking to him. After a while, I come into the little place. I passed it. I said, that's the place. There it is right there. Just a wide place in the road, like, you know, a little country road there. I said, that's the place right there. That's the yellow storefront. Watch. We moved up a little bit farther. Out of the store, stepped a man with his blue overalls on, yellow corduroy cap, and white mustache. Miss Bray just toppled right over the car. And she didn't know. I said, there he is. That's the man. I said, now watch. He'll act real funny because if the power of the Lord is so near to him. I drove up close. And I said, sir, I said, you're to tell me where Harold Nagel is. And the old fellow's lips began to quiver like that. He said, yes, sir. Then you go right up here this road and you turn down. It's the third house on the right hand side where a big red barn sets up on the hill. I said, uh-huh. He said, why? And I said, hasn't he got a daughter that's pretty sick or something? He said, yes. I said, she's going to be healed. Great big tears in her own down all these poor old sheep. And we turned around and Brother Brace talking to Sister Brace and rubbing her face with his hand. We turned around, went back up, went down the road, turned in to where the place was. There was a kind of a heavy set lady, Mrs. Nail, came walking out of the house. And she said, I know you're Brother Brandon by the look of your picture and the look. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, come in. We walked in. So they went walking up with me. We turned into the way it was when we entered the door. I said, watch now, watch in the room. As soon as you enter the door, there was a big old chunk stove sitting there. There's a sign up, God bless our home. There was the big poster bed. There laid the girl in there, kind of a boyish look, rough looking. And her hand brought up with arms around it, and her foot like that. And over to the paper was yellow and with red figures in it. Mrs. Brace taking another thing. Down she went again, once she'd seen it, and to see what had happened. Then it seemed like something strange happened. It seemed like that my spirit or my being or something moved out. And I remember walking over and laying my hands on the stomach of that young girl. And I said, thus says the Lord, sister, you're going to get well. And I began to pray. And when I began to pray, I heard something say, a little voice say, praise the Lord. And that was her. She'd be crying day and night with that affliction. And when I noticed her hand was back normal, her foot was straight, and when she raised up, her pajama leg raised up high enough here to show her round knee, and when Mrs. Bray seen that, down she went again. So she toddled on the floor and he said, mother, mother. The girl walked out of the room, comes back in, dressed, combing her hair with that crippled hand and her crippled foot, and she lives in Salem, Indiana today. You happen to know her, sister? What's her name? Laura. From Salem, Indiana. Do you know Mrs. Nagel? Do you know the girl in Nova Cave? There's a witness. Now let's say praise the Lord, everybody.
like you're doing way out in this country.
To find places. That's really good. That's mighty fine. From Salem, Indiana, that's about, just about 30 miles, 33 miles from my home, I guess. From Salem, Indiana. Now, you see, now that's just one of the cases of God making his way to perform these things. Wonder if I got time to tell you one that's on my mind. I can take me just a few minutes. Wonder if we could do it. If we say amen, if you want to hear it, does it bore you to talk of them? You want to hear it, say amen. That was in Little Rock, Arkansas. How many know G.H. Brown in Little Rock, Arkansas? The pastor G.H. Brown. Somebody back there in here? All right. You know him, William? Now, you write him for this testimony. And now this man, if you want to write for this testimony, see the lady back there, the first thing you want to do, and then write to Mrs. Harold Nagel at the South Boston, Indiana, or write the other is Mr. John Himmel, Utica, Indiana, RFDQ. And if you want to write to this man for this testimony, I'm going to tell you now, it's Reverend G.H. Brown, 505 Victor Street, Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'll try to make this just as sweet as possible. Have a word of prayer. And when we start to cry. And how many here today to be prayed for? Let's see. Caroline Fulsey. I always call her a mystic when it happens, something like that. It's a whole lot to do with the person's faith. But when he sends me to any place, friend, I don't care if the person's been in his grave dead for 50 years, they come up again. Because God's already spoken. It's got to be. And now that's just as true, friends, as I stand here. The Bible said the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word be established. Is that right? Now you ask. Now that's the way the gift is supposed to be working, you see. Now, I want you to notice this. It wasn't my sincere prayer that brought this gift. Gifts are not brought by sincere prayer. Gifts are foreordained of God. They're ordained and sent. Here at the Municipal Bridge. Sister, no doubt you know where the Municipal Bridge is, don't you? Crossing Jeffersonville to Louisville. 22 years when I was a little boy, just a little bitty lad, about 5 years old or 6 years old, when the angel of the Lord appeared in the bush, you heard me tell that happy when it was packing water. Well, about 2 weeks after that, I was playing marbles with my little brother, and I thought I got sick. Some real funny feeling came on me. I went to sit down by the side of a tree. And I looked out the river, and there went a bridge, a big, great big bridge going across the river. And I counted 16 men that fell off of that bridge and drowned. And I went and told Mother, and I told her I'd seen it. And they thought I was crazy or something. They thought I was just a little nervous, hysterical child. And 22 years from that time on, the same ground went to the Municipal Bridge across, and 16 men lost their lives on it. See? Wasn't nothing. If God sent it, your prayers brought it, see? And there may be the man sitting in this building right now, that divine prophet that's coming. He may raise, he may claim things. The doctor fanatic doesn't even follow these things. Beware of it. I'm warning you before it comes. But God will testify of his gift. Is that right? He'll testify of it. Now notice, you get real close to this. That, you heard me tell you of the healing of that woman, that maniac the other day, was on her back there at Little Rock, Arkansas. You remember telling you about that. I just had a phone call. Brother Brown had come to get me. And I had a phone call from Memphis, Tennessee. Is anybody here from Memphis, Tennessee? Around in Tennessee? There's plenty. I've seen some Tennessee cars out there. So I thought, all right, this is the Memphis. It's your postmaster is the one that it happened to. And anybody, what's the name of that Arkansas place? Brother Sisters, where that's taking place? That's Paul Martin's daughter. Walnut Ridge, Arkansas. Anybody here from around Walnut Ridge? How many knows Paul Martin in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas? Raise your hands. All right, you'll know the case. That's fine. Walnut Ridge, Arkansas. Well, I was in Kearney, Arkansas in the meeting when the Walnut Ridge case came up. They were just laying on the, you know how they are in Arkansas, the weather don't stop them there. They just bring them on. And they're laying out there around on the street, around the church, around the parsonage. And I'm just going day and night, and that's what's the matter with me now, you see. I just broke down. In the beginning, I just, they didn't have no certain closing times. I just done church and just kept me going all night. And so there was a phone kept ringing. And you know Miss Nellie Riggs there, Little Rock, or not Little Rock, but Kearney, where she was one of the angels on the phone. And she said, well, we can't get him up, sir. Said we just got him into bed. And the man kept on so persistent. So I said, let me talk to him. He said, that's Paul Morgan. What was he, brother? What is he there in Arkansas? Tax collector of that county. And so I don't think he was that then, was he? Clerk, the city clerk, or the county clerk. And so I went to the phone. He said, I'm the county clerk down here at Walnut Ridge, which is about 70 miles below where I was at. And said, sir, I've heard of the great works of God. Said, I desire you to come perform a miracle on my daughter. And I said, Mr. Morgan? I said, well, I can't perform no miracle. I said, God is the healer. He said, well, I've heard. Said, look, sir. Said, my little girl is dying. And said, she's in a very serious condition. And we don't expect her to live just a 2-3 more hours. And said, I love my little girl. Said, she's my only child. And she's about 12 years old. And said, I would desire you to come. I said, Mr. Morgan, I'd be glad to come. But looky here, sir. I said, here's people standing here on the porch with little babies. And they're soaking wet and standing here all night in the rain. I said, they couldn't even get around and play. And he said, I know that, sir. Said, and I appreciate it. Said, you're a father too, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. Said, just think, those mothers, their babies are not dying. Said, they may have different things. But said, my baby has got pneumonia, and the best specialist I can get says she ain't going to live in about 3 more hours. I said, well, sir, I couldn't even get there in 3 hours. He said, but Brother Branham, he said, don't think I'm trying to use my authority now for pressure. And Mr. Morgan is a fine man. He followed us long time, didn't he, Brother Kitchener? How long in the meeting? He said, if you'll just come, said, I'll just, you don't know what, said, their babies, if they've been standing all night, said, maybe they can wait a little while, but my baby can't. He said, and I just lost a little girl here about 12 years ago. My first little girl died. That's a long time before he was being coming. And I know how I felt, a poor little friend dying. I said, well, Brother Brandon, you can't go down there, honey. He said, my, I said, well, you're just about dead. I said, well, let me lay in the back here. Come little Plymouth car and drove down that highway at the speed of 70 miles an hour around to Arkansas. And on the road down, I was praying, and the angel of the Lord sat in the car with me, or just a little seat. He said, say this to him. Thus saith the Lord, waters are running clear ahead. That was my word to give you. When he left, I was just as wide awake as I am now, and I was just shouting and praising the Lord. And Brother Johnson said, what's the matter? I said, the angel of the Lord was sitting here, Brother Johnson. He said, oh, Brother Branham, Brother Johnson, he's a very fine man. He pulled up his brake. He started crying. I said, just go ahead now. Go ahead, go right straight. And when we got there, well, the Arkansas people love one another, and they love Paul Morgan, and all around that clinic there, there were just people gathered everywhere waiting for the last words. Been sitting up there all night waiting for the last words for the little girl. He was loved among everyone. But you don't know how I felt. Got out of there, started pushing up through the crowd, and here was one of the doctors standing there, and they was at the door. They wouldn't let no more in. We just wanted to get to the set. They was waiting. Everybody loved us. He said, are you the Reverend Branham? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, Mr. Morgan's waiting for you. He said, shall I show you to the room? I said, yes, sir. I said, the child still lives. He said, it does. And I said, and then on his road up, he met the intern. He said, this is Reverend Brandon, said, Mr. Morgan's waiting for. So the intern went back with him. He said, will you be left alone, Brother Brandon? I said, I'd like to see the father and mother first. So now they got 2 nurses in the room, and they're giving the oxygen. They could not put it in a tent. They had to put it over a rubber mat. Now, he's a doctor here. I've never seen it before. They put it on there and forced the oxygen into the baby. And it would take a couple breaths, go, and that would. And they put that on again, and they go, and go down again, and the nurse is taking push it on, go, take it, like that. That's the way you keep it alive. When I started to knock at the door, I just felt something standing near. Brother Johnson said, I said, don't come in, Brother Johnson. Let me go alone. I got the door. One of the nurses opened the door. She said, what do you want? I said, I'm Brother Brandon. I want to step in. I walked in. Mr. Morgan said, are you Brother Brandon? I said, yes. He just come put his arm around me. He's a great big fine fella. He said, Brother Brandon. He said, said, I'll try to live right. I'll try to do what's right. I don't know why God's taking my baby. I said, don't be excited anymore. But I am. I walked over to the nurse and she said, we'll have to keep this oxygen going. I said, that's all right. I want you to. The little girl was laying kind of stooped over like this. I laid my hand down on her and I said, now, Father, this father, I said, you and mother come to the third time, testify wherever you go about it. We will. I said, don't fear. I have a word for you. Start looking the Lord after I pray for your baby. Bring my hands on the baby. I called over it the name of Jesus Christ. And whenever it is, it didn't have to cut the oxygen on the old man. I turned around and I said, thus saith the Lord, Mr. Morgan. I said, many specialists have now your baby died. But thus saith the Lord, your baby shall live. I said, it'll recover. And here's your word. Remember this, the days of your life, the waters are running clear ahead. You'll have a testimony right there, you know. And signed a notary. And so it walked out of the building. Now on the third day, the child returned to school. He was healed well, see? Now, then at Little Rock, they sent him to come to, what was that man's name? Postmaster there. Everyone is here from Memphis, know who I'm speaking of, I guess. He's a tall fella, but anyhow, when I get through the description here, you know, and the man was with him, his name's Kenny, I remember that, Mr. Kenny. And they sent him to come over there to pray for this thing, so he was dying. Well, I got ready to go, first plane flight. Instead of going over, I was getting ready, and I was putting on this suit of clothes, and I heard something like a wind blowing in the room. Began going, I thought, my, the wind's awful high today. I put on my shirt and on coat and mate. I was singing, and Brother Brown was going to fix me to go there, so the man was dying. And that man that went over to Dr. General Patton, do you all remember him? They brought him in there, but playing to this man. Everything said he's dying, because the pneumonia came too. Said he's dying, the man can't get well. That asthmatic pneumonia. And so I started to put on my coat, and I think Brother Brown will be there most any time. And they couldn't get a... And Mr. Kenny had come by a fast car. He was sometimes a feast of the law there, you know, and he had a red light and siren in his car, and he'd come over and left early so he could get me. It was a plane, didn't it? And I looked over there, and there's a whirl light going around in the room, and I knelt down to pray. And when I did, the angel of the Lord spoke and said, do not go over there. His time has come. All right? I got up and cut back off my coat. A few moments, they came up to the door. And his brother, Kenny Runner, said, you, Brother Brown? I said, yes, and Brother Brown was with me. Now, you all know Brother Brown, or any of you wish to drive to this testimony. He put his arm around me and said, oh, I've had faith to know. Said, he's a personal friend of Paul Marvin. Said, he knows his daughter. He said, of course, he's unconscious now. He said, he's a bosom friend of mine. And said, you know, I said, but sir, you'll probably find your buddy gone when you return back for us. Thus saith the Lord. A man is going to die. Well, Jesus got, well, the Holy Spirit warned me not to go. He spoke to me here in the room a few moments ago. He said, but Brother Branham said, they're coming in out of a big church, you know, into their church. He said, it just means so much to her. I said, but I can't help it, sir. I cannot go against the will of God. I can't go. He said, you mean my buddy's going to die? I said, he'll probably be dead when he returns. I said, however, what time will you get back? He said, I'll get back by 8 o'clock tonight. I said, call me in the morning. I'll be praying. I said, I'm interested in, and let me know when he passes away. I said, you call me in the morning, let me know his condition, and just when he passed away. He was passed away when you got there. And never mind call me now because I'll be in service, and don't call me because I may not be in from service until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, he started out crying. He said, my poor buddy, like that, going back crying. I went on to service that night, and that was a very nice thing. He had to see. Went back and got in the bed, and the next morning, I went in about 2 o'clock, and the next morning, I woke up in the room. Now, I want you to listen to this real close now, so that you can get the story from Brother Brown. When I woke up in the room, I just, like that, I thought, my, it's daylight. And I looked sitting there beside my bed, and there sat a lady. Well, my room was locked. The door was locked. She had on a brown suit, light brown suit. She had kind of mingled gray hair. She had on a white waist, what they call the women. I think it's called coat suit, isn't it? When it's got the dress and the coat up here, the same color, you know, the same thing. So she was sitting there, and she was just looking so sad, sideways. And I said, I raised up. I thought, well, here, how'd that woman get in here? The door's locked, and here's the key laying here. And that woman's sitting there. And I said, started raising up to say, madam. And when I did, I looked back over here, and there sat a man. And he was a tall man, wore a light suit, gray hair, and had a red tie on. He was just looking so sad like that. And she looked around to him, and he kind of smiled, and they kind of looked over at each other. And I thought, well, what is this? And I raised up, right, this is the natural frame. God is my judge. And I sat right here looking at you like that. And I said, well, what is this? And I looked up, and I was standing on a platform somewhere in a church. Well, I bit my finger to see if I was just sleeping and what was wrong with me. I see it was a vision. And I looked at it, and just then it went, just like fading out. I see them laughing at each other, and it was bowing her head towards me like that, and smiling to one another, and bowing her head like that, and just faded out of the room like that. Well, I got up, and I prayed, and I said, God, I don't know. What does that mean? There probably needs somebody come in today. Well, that description, sometimes I see people coming into the meeting like that. I said, now, and when I see them, you heard me many times before say, thus saith the Lord, stand up. See? Because God's already spoke that. That has to happen. And I thought, well, somebody be in like that. And I thought, well, I'll read my Bible, this very Bible. I said, Lord, where would you have me to read your Bible this morning? I just love to read the Word of the Lord. I just put my hand like this, laid on the Bible, and opened up. And it opened up there to where Isaiah was sent to Hezekiah to pronounce to him that his time had come. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord heard his voice and come back and spoke to Isaiah and said, go tell him I spared him 15 years. You remember that? Well, I said, isn't that a strange thing? Well, I said, that scripture seems, I done forgot about that case over there. I said, that's strange, isn't it? About that time the phone rang, I said, well, that's Brother Brown coming up. He had to come get me and take me down. You know how there, two or three with him. I thought, yes, him coming to get me for breakfast. I tucked down the receiver. I said, hello. He said, hello, Brother Brown. I said, yeah. I said, how are you, Brother Brown? He said, this is not Brother Brown. This is Brother Kenny. Amen. I said, oh, I thought nobody knew what room I was in. He wasn't where I was staying, you see. But Brother Brown, I knew Brother Kenny knew then. I said, yes. I said, well, what kind of news you got? And just then it dawned on my mind what the vision was. And he said, well, Brother Branham, we set up all night before he's leaving. Said, they're here now. Said, they're just looking for the last minute any time. I said, Brother Branham, I reckon I can get my wife to come over by your next meeting when you go to the Jonesboro the first year, and bring her over and put her in the meeting. I said, maybe you could, sir. But I said, you say she? He said, yes. And he said, I said, is his wife there? He said, yes. I said, does his wife ever wear a brown suit like and got a white waist on? She's kind of gray haired woman. He said, sure. I said, does he ever wear a light-colored suit? Has he got gray hair? He wears a red tie, so that's the way he dresses all the time. Why? You know him? I said, yes, sir. Tell the wife to come to the phone. He said, well, Brother Grandma, I said, they're looking for him to go to any minute. I said, well, tell him to come to the phone. But, well, said, I already told her that you said he would go to die. I said, but I want her to come to the phone. She come to the phone, and I said, hello. And I asked him, he said, yes. And I said, well, this is Brother Grandma. He said, yes. Said, I heard Brother Branham. I said, but look, sister, are you ready now? She said, what do you mean? I said, thus saith the Lord, your husband shall live. I said, do you believe that? And I didn't hear no answer. I said, you believe that? I couldn't hear no answer. I thought, I heard somebody carrying on out there, and she fainted, and she fell down on the floor. So then, Brother Kenny picked up and said, what's the matter, Brother Graham? The woman fainted. I said, I told her, thus saith the Lord, her husband's going to live. He said, what? I said, yes, he's going to live. I said, I described him. I've seen him in the vision a few moments ago. She is going to live, or he's going to live. He said, oh, can I come after you? I said, just meet the next plane. I'll be there. I'll be there. One of them hospice called doctors roll there. I walked in. Here come his sister down the hall steps. Mary, I did. Holy old preacher ran here. My brother dying, and then I think it's a disgrace. Oh, my. That couldn't, nothing could stop it. The devil couldn't send it up against out of hell to stop that. There's nothing. It's absolutely there. That's all. That's done, said, thus saith the Lord. It's there. Oh, you know how I felt walking there. Walk down the hall. Here come a nurse out from the end there, you know. And I said, is there anyone in there, lady? And she said, yes, there's two doctors in there. I said, tell them to get out. You don't know how I felt. In the room, there's just them two. Walk down there. Friends, I know you think, some of you are judging me a fanatic, but God is my judge, who I'm standing for. Then walk into the room like that, and them doctors went out there very sarcastic looking on. Walked in, poor old sister, she was just about to faint. I said, now don't worry. I didn't have an overcoat, and I borrowed Brother Brown, and I had this Bible sticking down in my pocket, and the overcoat was too big for me. I just carried it, and they keep it looking so bad in cold weather. And so I laid the overcoat down on the chair, and I told her, now you go get the Bible and turn to a certain scripture, for I've seen her in the Isaiah, and she began to read it, and I looked at it, and that muddy-looking color in his eyes, you know, where his eyes, like, you know, that water coming out. His mouth was back, his beard was about like that. He's laying there at that oxygen tent like that, you know, and I reached over it through the oxygen tent, got a hold of his hand. There's the vibration he is. I shook him a little bit. I said, you hear me, sir? She said, he's been unconscious for about 2 days. I said, you don't doubt a word I'm saying. She said, no, sir, I do not doubt a thing. She said, fine, no. I took hold of his hand. I said, dear God, you spoke to me this morning in the meeting. I know these people are going to be known to their eyes and tell them the first. For I was saying, on that platform, this is a man and woman. I said, now let me eat what God speaks. I felt the vibration in me. I just kept on praying. I felt he gripped my hand. I know his life is there. I felt he gripped my hand. I just went down a little bit. Like I looked up, my name's Steve, wet his lips. She's still down for a little bit, crying. Now I'm just waiting for a little bit. Like I've seen him before, right there. I said, you know me? And she raised up right quick. She looked, she seen him raise up on his head, like on his hand, like this, looking at me. Said, know me? Said, yes, it's Brother Branham. My, she just dozed in the house. She said, Dad, like that. Grabbed him around like that, just hugging him and everything. I just slipped right out of the room like that while he was going home. Got on down the steps, went right back to the plane. When I thought I got to the plane, the Assemblies of God had enough people out there. I don't know where they were going through the line. This little girl, polio, had a player of Packers in Siena. And when I stopped on the plane here, trip next to this, I was sitting in the restaurant there, and the girl came up and sat down to the side of me and said, you remember me, Brother Brandon? I thought, I just got fainted on the ground just a few moments. And I said, no, ma'am, no, she said, you prayed me out of the polio case and sent them over there. And on the second day from then, the man was up out of the bed, shaved, eating ham and eggs for breakfast, and went home and went back to his work. He's living there now. Why? It's thus saith the Lord. See what I mean? Now, Phoenix people, here's what it is. That is the way that God intends this gift to work perfectly. Do you understand now, all of you? If you do, say amen. Now, remember, write for that name to get that testimony. Reverend G.H. Brown, 505 Victor Street, Little Rock, Arkansas. And the other is Harold Nagel at South Boston, Indiana, and John Immel, Utica, Indiana, RFD2. Now, for those testimonies, case after case. Now, when the angel of the Lord speaks like that, there is not nothing can stand before us. It's absolute. Then, well, my faith, well, I know it's going to happen. There's no need to say anything more about it. It's got to happen. If that person had been dead and in the grave for 20 years, if they go there and speak, I believe all heaven would shake out of its orbit before that prayer would be answered. God will do it. Now, that's when it's really, thus saith the Lord. Now, when we come to these meetings, I detect vibrations. Sometimes I can answer the vibrations, and God will honor my prayer. He'll send it away. That's true. But if there's anything between you and God and you don't make it right, if it's your faith is weak and you're just waiting for a slow line for that to be cast away, if your faith ain't just right, it'll return right back to you. It'll just move out of this place. For I've prayed for him. I've kept this back from you. But I've prayed for him coming through the line and set him down there somewhere else and walk back in 15 minutes time and check him and be back on him again. See? Your faith is the only thing that can do you any good. Your belief, your faith in God. You see what I mean? Without faith, it's impossible. Is that true? Now, you believe it with all your heart when he comes through that you're going to be well, and you'll get well. If you don't believe it, it won't get well. No matter what happens, you won't be healed unless you believe it with all your heart. Now, look. How many of you people would say that I got on a white shirt? How many of you out there now say I got on a white shirt? How do you know I got on a white shirt? You see it.
That's the only way you know it.
Are you positive it's white?
Well, now look. Sight is a sense of the body. Is that true? Sight is one of the senses. How many senses are the other body? See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. How many senses are the spirit? Two. Faith and doubt. Are you two people in one? Your soul, that's the nature of the spirit. But now you're body and spirit, is that right? You are a body, flesh, and you're inside man's spirit. Is that true? Or the opposite. The inside man leaves, the outside man stays. Is that right?
I think I got that in the Hebrew.
All right. Now look here. I believe there's a man standing before me now, and he's got on a dark coat. How many think I'm right?
Quite sure.
You believe him right?
All right. Now, I'm thinking I know he's standing there.
I see. Is that right? Is there any other way in the world that I could tell he was there only by seeing him?
That's what it is. Now, look here.
Now, I don't see that man now, do I? But he's still standing there. How do I know he's standing there? I feel him. That's a sense of feeling. Anybody who's got a sense of feeling will know the same thing. Now, perhaps he's got to argue me. I don't see him, but yet I feel him. I don't feel him, yet I see him. See the senses? They're direct, aren't they? They're perfect. What you call perfect. But could I be wrong there? Sure I could. I could be colorblind. That's what you could be colorblind. Yes, sir. He might be altogether different. He might not have no white shirt. You're not, but you swear to that. Am I feeling? I'd say he's standing there because I feel him. See? But I could be wrong against that. But yet I know it. Just believe it with all my heart. He's standing there because the sense of feeling says he's there. Now, I want you to notice this one more thing. I have another sense. I want you to notice this. It's the up, down, and north. I hear music. There's music in the room. Just keep hitting up, down, and keep anywhere. There. How many hears that? How many knows that? Do I see it? Do I feel it? Do I taste it? Do I smell it? How do I know it's playing there? I hear it. It's a sense of hearing, you see? Now, I know someone say you don't hear that. Yes, I do. Play it again, brother. I know I do. Don't you? Why? You hear it. You don't see it, but you hear it. You can't see music, can you? You can't taste music, feel music, can you? But how do you know it's music? You hear it. That's right. Well, brother, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you don't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. But you know it. It's a faith. Oh, God bless your heart. I wish I could get you to see it. Looky here, friend. It's positive. Is that shirt white? Well, healing's right, then, if you believe. The substance, not what you, most of the people just hope, say, oh, I believe I'll get well. 999 out of every 1,000 passes by don't know the first principle of faith. That's right. They have hope instead of faith. Faith is positive. Real when you can know what it's going to be. If you know that you're going to be healed this afternoon, if your sense of faith, get it in, let's get it. If your sense of faith declares to you that this gift comes from God and you're going to be healed, just as much as your sight declares about the white shirt, you're sure to get it when you pass by. See what I mean? Now, if you can trust the human part, why not trust the superhuman part? If you can trust the body, why not trust the spirit? For the spirit is superior over the body. Amen. There it is. See what I mean? It's faith. The substance of things hoped for. Look, it isn't just I believe it, I think it. You know it. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things you don't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. If you believe it's there anyhow. Some people go in and say, well, I don't feel any better. I prayed for last week. Probably never feel any better. That's right. You've got to believe it. Not if Jesus ever said, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? You believe it. He has faith. You know it. Then when this revelation of the angel comes, there isn't enough devils out of hell could stop it from being so. Now, don't you go around and say, well, I've been feeling bad for 2 or 3 weeks, and I was prayed for, don't feel any better. Don't pay any attention to that. If you believe this truly is a gift of God, rise up and don't care how you feel. Go about rejoicing, praising God. Gone. That's all. You know what? When I was healed with stomach trouble, well, I remember holding my stomach all along there, and when I was prayed for, I didn't have nobody with the gift of healing to pray for me. The elder anointed me with oil. He told me I read the Bible. I seen God's word was right. And I know he had it right, though he was a Baptist preacher. He come along to mom and said, the Bible said so. He poured some oil on my head. So now you believe you'll get well? I said, oh, God, I'm asking with all my heart, let me get well. I went right down home, started into my eating. I've been drinking barley water and prune juice for about 3-4 months. The doctor said one mouthful of solid food would kill you right now. You know what I done? I went right down home and we had cornbread, beans, and onions for dinner. I don't know whether you'll eat it like that or not. Boy, it's good. I can stand some right now. And mom baked, my mother baked a big old pone. And like that, I always get the corner where it's nice and greasy, you know, and brittle. So we're still enough Baptists around home to break bread. You know, we don't cut it. Jesus broke bread and blessed it, so we break it out. That's just make sure we break you off a piece. So mother said, we never had had a prayer in home. And Dad was Catholic. So I said, now I'm going to try to ask the blessing, and I never will forget poor old Dad, how he cried. And mother said, I don't mind you having religion, honey, but the doctor said it would kill you. I said, but God said I would live. If I die, I'm coming up to your house. When I meet you at the door, I died trusting your word. I said, I've tried doctors long enough, and they can't do me no good. And I took that big mouthful of beans and onions, great big chomp of that cornbread, and I started on it. And I chewed it, tastes pretty good, a little funny, but hadn't eaten about over a year of anything solid. And when I swallowed the first mouthful, here it come right back up again. When I did, I helped my hand over my mouth, keep them coming up. Got me another spoonful. So I eat the whole entire plate full of them. When I got up to the table, I just had to hold my hand just as sour as acid as it could be. Mother called the doctor, said he'll die. That's all there is to it. One mouthful of killing, said that's all there is. Here I was going across the floor, you know. She said, how you feeling? I said, wonderful. Fine. She said, you're about to die. I said, no, ma'am. This is all there is. Thanks, good hot water in my mouth. You know, went across and I seen it all gone. I got room. I started across the floor and said, I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals you now. I'll take you at your word. I'll take you at your word. I guess you on down, believing that with all my. I just got so weak, I just almost fell across the bed like, oh, mercy, mercy. And I got up the next day, I walked down the street, you know, my, I didn't care. Mother come in, she watched me all night long, thought sure I'd die, you know. Next morning, all the beans is laying right there at the same place. Said, what do you want? I said, I want some more beans and cornbread. Yep. Oh, devil will cheat me out of it. No, no. God said so, and every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Is that right? I am trusting in his word divine, for every promise in the book is mine. That's right. He said, whosoever will, and he said, William Branham. There might be 100 William Branhams, but whosoever will, I know means it's mine. That's right. I just said, I believe you, yes, sir. And I started on, went out on the street and said, how you feeling, Brother Branham? I said, wonderful. I go down the street going, mouth full of beans, follow him back. No, no, I won't spit him out. No, sir. Follow him back. Lord bless them. They were mine. Kept on and go down and say, hello, Brother Branham. I said, hello, how you feeling? Wonderful. Somebody told me not long ago, said, Brother Branham, he was lying. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. They was asking me how my body was feeling. I was answering how my faith was. It was wonderful. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My faith was feeling wonderful because I took God at his word. I didn't care how I felt. If I'd still been belted up, I'd still say I'm healed. Amen. That's right. Sure, because God's word is right. You believe it? Let's sing it then. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his heart divine. Every promise in the book is mine. All you sick people that will be prayed for, sing it with me. Every promise in the book. Raise your hand.
much of a song leader, but I do know in my heart that you have to believe it. Is that right?
All right, now, brother, give us the key on it. We get one. All right, everybody get out.
Come on.
to be the prayer line.
Now you people hear this well. Unless you and I sing it to the sick people, it's going to be in the prayer line. He, point your finger to him. He cares for you. He cares for you. Truth, sunshine, or shadow. He cares for you. Let everyone stand now. Shake hands with somebody standing by. He cares for. That's right. Turn right around to a good handshake.
Come down either aisle. The ushers are in front. Tell them when to come. She worked with us.
I feel the person, when they come to me, I feel that pressure of faith come against me. Maybe they're blind or deaf or dumb. When I feel that pressure come against me, that I know that it's faith, I usually stop like that, because then people have faith for it to be done, no matter what's wrong with them. But if I don't feel that faith, I just ask the prayer of faith and let it go by. See what I mean? You all understand, don't you? All right, everyone bow your head and be in prayer. Dear God, our sister's now passing by. Let her go not according to her feelings, but her faith. May she go and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, little lady. Now, I wish all the ministers here that could cooperate would get right down along this line here and go to talk to these people and pray for them, if you would. All cooperating ministers that will get along this prayer line and be praying. God hears your prayers, brother. All of you all that benefit. Jesus, have mercy upon our sister and heal her. Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, may this be healed. That's right, young lady. Go now, rejoice. God bless you, brother. You're in serious condition. You realize that, don't you? Oh, God, I'm thinking now that x-ray had just come in a while ago with that doctor's testimony. Over half of her lungs was gone in the x-ray, showing now right here in Phoenix. And now her next one shows negative. Oh, Christ, please have mercy on this man who's come all the way down from that lovely state of Ohio, my neighbor, to be prayed for here in Arizona. Thou demon, come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, dear brother, you're my neighbor up there. Don't doubt. Your vibration has stopped. Now, if you can believe it was all, you felt it. Fine. God bless you. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. A man comes from Ohio down here to be prayed for, right next door to me there. All right, now, bow your head. Oh, my. Why don't you have this kind of a feeling all the time around Phoenix here? This is the kind of a feeling you take for people to be healed. Now, bow your head, everybody now. Yes, sir. You know, sir, that your time is very near the end of life's journey. Something isn't done. Where do you live, sir? Family. Or have faith now. Don't doubt. Just have faith. Remember what I told you? Just believe with all your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brother now with cancer. His life is being eat up. This big thing is cancer is doing it. You're the only one who can take that Optimus out of him. That demon stretching forth his powers and limbs in there to eat the very life out of this man. Father, he's our brother, and we come to you as your children. Thou demon, come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother, you can look at my hand yourself. It cleared. Oh, rejoice. God bless that you will help our sister here who's suffering with this hideous power that's bothering her. Satan, come out of the woman in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask. Father, I believe that this woman now that we're asking this blessing is worthy of what we're asking for. It's our brother's wife. Your servant, and she's constantly been used in the service here. Reward her of her fine cooperation, Father, by healing her today. Will you hear the prayer of your servant? God, you sent me out to Harold Nail Town. You sent me up to Utica, up to the brother Emil, and over to the man at Little Rock, and different places. You who've done these things, hear the prayer of your servant as we're hastening through here, and give this woman deliverance from this right this very day. I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, sister outlaw. Don't worry. I just heard a report from Sister Outlaw. I had her run and pray for her sister the other night. It was very serious. She's getting better, and a little boy, a little Spanish boy, a little brother Joseph. I haven't seen him today. I'd like to see Joseph before I leave. When he takes in the room for a little Spanish boy that he thought was dying, laying there crushed, brain and everything,
brother now to be well. Satan, I adjure thee to leave the boy in the name of Jesus Christ. I went to nerve patient. God bless you, my dear brother. Go with faith. Believe that God sent me to do this, to give you your healing without this trumpet? You can't hear me, Arthur. Heavenly Father, the man is standing here now with this trumpet in his ears, and you're the only one who can deliver him. I pray that you'll heal my brother. He's tired of this old trumpet. He's tired of people gazing up on him. And you're here to liberate him. Speak, dear God.
Oh God, I pray that you will heal my brother.
who's standing here now totally dead. I pray that you'll give him his healing now in Jesus Christ's name. I ask that you'll pass this one through and you all check and see what happened now. Check a couple of these now while we pass this one. God, I pray that you'll heal my dear brother with this gallbladder trouble and let him get well in Jesus Christ's name. I pray.
God
bless you, sir. That's just what's done it right there. Got it. Go on, God. Oh, my. He's seen the vision of it right away. My. Oh, God, I pray for my sister that you'll heal her in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask the question. Amen. God, I pray that you'll heal the sister of this trouble. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. God bless my sister. I pray that you'll heal her, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, Jesus. God bless this little baby with heart trouble. I pray that you'll heal it, Father, and let it get well. I'll lay hands upon it in the name of Jesus Christ for healing. Bless the mother, Father. Give her a long, happy, healthy life. In Jesus' name, God bless you, little baby. Oh, God, this poor little stiffened up boy here is just in muscular condition. Looking up in his little blue eyes. Oh, God, you're the only one who can do this. Satan, come out of the boy in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody's got their head up. Keep your head down, friend. Just come right straight back. Brother Fuller, you see how I turned my hand there, or Faulkner, how I did the face?
Yes.
You bleed, honey?
Yes,
everybody keep their head bowed. Father, have mercy upon the little boy and heal him of this muscular condition. You're the only one who can do it. Thou demon, come out of him. I adjure thee by Jesus Christ and his holy angel. Now, walk over towards me, honey. Raise your feet up and look at it. I pray. There you are. Raise your hands up and down.
Praise
you. I put your hand up. I did. That's fine. Now go right down the step just as hard as you can go. Raise your head, audience. You're not stiff anymore.
Praise you.
Walk down the step. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. That's fine. Come back up the step now. Come back up. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. All right, bow your head everywhere down the building because you've got several hundred to pray for. Now, bow your head and be real reverent. Father, you're the only one who can heal this brother of this ulcer. We know, Father, I was speaking a few moments ago of how my stomach was one big bloody raw ulcer almost to a cancer, but I took you at your word. May our brother do likewise and be healed in Jesus Christ's name. God bless you, brother. God bless my dear brother. I pray, Father, that you'll heal his body in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, brother. Go rejoice thee now. Dear Father, I pray that you'll heal our sister now. May she go from here rejoicing and be well in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You want to be well, sister? Go on your road rejoicing. Forget about it now. Go on, have faith now. Dear Father, I pray for the young lady that you'll heal her. And may she go by, just as she would the brazen serpent or the troubled pool. Or more than that, as she was passing by Calvary. Grant it, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. God bless you. You believe you'll be well?
Thank you.
God bless you. Oh, God, this poor dead woman standing here with this crippled up body. Poor little drawn thing, seeing her standing out there this afternoon and felt she had faith. Therefore, Father, come to the rescue and may that demon that's bound her come forth. I adjure thee to leave her. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ.
got it. You seen that, dude? You hear me? All right, you raise your head now. I see her jump. You didn't know what happened, did you?
Praise God.
You hear me?
Yes.
Come on, you're not getting arthritis before you. Now, she was watching me, the four things, and I was standing there, I felt her face coming through there. I just pulled my hands in front of her ears, and wanted to jerk my ears, my hands back like that, hearing the tour just like that, done in a moment. All right now, Mother, that's fine. All right, bow your head, everyone. Dear Father, I pray for our sister as thou will heal her body and make her well. Grant it, dear God, that this stroke will be healed up, her eyes will get well. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you, sister. You believe it? You shall have it if you can. God, have mercy upon our sister and heal her of this colitis in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. God bless you, little lady. You believe now? All your heart. All right, you shall have it. Almighty God, this poor man standing here, even in this healthy climb of dying with tuberculosis, we know it takes your power, Father, and may he see that this simple little blessing, just simple child faith to pass by and be healed. I pray in Jesus' name for his healing. Amen. God bless you, my brother. Go rejoice and don't pay attention to how you feel.
Well,
God, have mercy on our sister and heal her of this nervous breakdown in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you going to get well, sister? You're not going to worry no more about it. Gone. That's right. Go away rejoicing. That's
right.
Father, I pray that you will heal our sister and will make her well. May she leave this pulpit just rejoicing with all her heart in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You believe, sister? Dorsa. Is that right? Fine name. All right. Now go rejoicing, Dorsa. You believe, sister, God will let it go away for you? Father, I pray for our sister with this choking spirit. May it leave her and bother her no more. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, little sister. Say, open your eyes just a moment. This girl had a garter disappear from her throat right here. There it was. It's showing garter. Was that right, young lady? Look here. Swallow. Let's say praise the Lord. God bless you, little lady. How old are you? You believe God will hear my prayer if I just ask him? Well, I believe you're already healed. I do it with all my heart. God bless this young lady. I believe, Father, with all my heart that her faith has done saved her. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Young lady, you was healed when you walked to this life. Friends, I want you to open your eyes. I've said it was the poorest place for faith, but I've been at the greatest this afternoon. This girl was healed before I took over her hand. I felt something move, and the girl was healed. A strange feeling come to you. That you're healed, young lady. All right, you mark my word and see if that is right. Glory, Father, Lord. Look here, friend. It isn't my prayer that healed you. It's your faith in God what healed you. It's a simple part of just the past 5 minutes. And remember, I told you the angel of God had held my Bible in my hand. He told me that nothing would stand before the prayer if I'd be sincere and would get the people to believe me. That's all you have to do. Just believe and come on by and you will receive it. And if you believe it, act like it. Go about and rejoice and testify and tell people. Sure, faith is not what you feel. Faith is what you have. Is that right? What you believe. Now, bow your head while we're just praying. Lord, just doing fine. I trust to God that this will keep up. Father, I pray that you will heal our brother of this asthma in Jesus Christ's name. God bless you, Dad. You believe? Show heaven. You believe it, young lady? God bless this young lady and her tender heart. I pray that she'll go about now rejoicing for her healing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sister. God bless our brother who's standing here crippled up with rheumatism. Thou demon, leave him in Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you, God.
Just die just then. Well, you're not crippled with rheumatism.
Walk on down the steps. Walk on down the steps.
Amen.
There he goes. Look at him. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. Bow your head now, everyone. God, I pray that you'll heal this boy with this impediment of speech. May it leave him right here at the pulpit now. I rebuke this impediment of speech in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Daddy. Mama. Listen to this. Amen.
Amen.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Mama.
Mama.
They praise the Lord, everybody. Okay. Father, have mercy upon sister and heal her of this high blood pressure, and she's run down, Father. I pray that she'll go home today and be well, in Jesus Christ's name. Are you, sister? You now believe it? Lord God, I now believe you heal me with all my heart. I go rejoicing, Father. Is that what you feel about it? Go right on your road rejoicing, man.
For you.
God bless this man who's losing his sight. May instead of you, shall not lose your eyesight. Look around a little bit, man. This nurse you're standing here on the platform. Raise up your hand, sir. How many fingers have you got up? Please raise it. That's exactly right, brother. You're right. You want that to you? God rewards you your faith. All right. Heaven. God, this poor mother standing here. She wants to be healed for your glory. May her great faith look up to thee now, lay aside everything, and believe you with all of her heart and be healed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. May God grant you your desire to sister.
Father, I pray that you heal this girl there.
In the name of Jesus Christ, may she receive her hearing now. I check her something. God, I pray for our sister that you will heal her
in the name of Jesus Christ.
God, heal this bronchitis in Jesus Christ. Amen. Heal my brother's stomach trouble in Jesus' name. Heal this little girl, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. You think of the lady?
What is it?
What?
Abnormal
healing, cross-eyed. Lady, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and died for healing? All right. Bow your head. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Hard people sometimes up in the other meetings don't get to come in, but you believe me? God bless you, sister. Your star shall be healed now. Heavenly Father, I'm thinking now of that blind colored girl in Jonesboro, Arkansas. How did she grab my old ragged coat and said, don't pass me? You know him, Father. Thou hast died for this colored race, the same as all of us, and we're all one in Christ Jesus. Thou art no respecter of persons. And now they bring to thee a little cross-eyed girl, as an affected head. Thou art here, Lord, to make her well. Now you, who was bearing the cross to Jerusalem that morning, and when you fell, then Simon the Serene, that colored man, came and helped you bear the cross. God, I know you understand. And to prove to these people here in Phoenix that thou art no respecter of persons, I therefore rebuke these cross eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. Now keep your head bowed, never mind. Almighty and all-omnipotent God, let it be known today that you are God and I be your servant, that the people might know that thou art the only living God, and you have anointed me and set me forth, and I speak not of my own words, but them words in which you revealed to me. Therefore, angel of God, you who told me to go, and if I be sincere, the people would believe there would be nothing standing before the prayer. I ask for this. I'm leading Phoenix, and Lord, I love the country, and prove that thou art God, and I be your servant. Thou demon, I rebuke thee, come out of the child. in the name of Jesus Christ. Just keep your little eyes closed. Now raise your hand, but keep your eyes closed. Everybody keep your eyes closed. Now slowly open your eyes looking towards me. Slowly now, right. There they are. All right. Her eyes are straight and normal. Look out here in front of anybody you want to. Look out there. Look out the door. Up here, dude. Yes, sir. That trouble's gone too much. Everything is all right. Look at her. You love Jesus. You're satisfied with that. Look out there at that bar window. Now watch your friends. Her eyes, both eyes are locked out. You follow up and look at my finger. Now you move your eyes to my finger. Don't look at your eyes. Here's where I want you to move your eyes. Like that. Close that back and forth. Now raise up so people can see.
That's all for praise.
Praise. Thank you, God. Jesus. We glorify thee, God, praising you, keeping us from ever hearing you. Hallelujah. Thank you. All right, keep your head bowed now. You want to be prayed for. Oh, God, you who created this side of this mother, taking the child, and now here she has a misery in her side. I now rebuke that misery. Leave the woman in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rebuke thee. Come out of her. I think it's infection. Scream now. Stop. Roland, where do you live at? And be a testimony for God, sister. You just come to be healed. Oh, help me now, tuberculosis is hitting this man. Oh, Satan, why would you do this? Leave him in Jesus Christ's name. Now, just a moment, friends. Just hold on me. Look, sir. Just wait a minute. How long have you been suffering with it? 44. I want the audience to see if some of them ever seen a vibration. I want to look at it. Move out here. Art, raise your head, audience. There's two worker vibrations. Them white welts rising and falling on my hand. Red, see how white this hand looks? Look here, see how white welts, see it coming and going. Do you see it? See what I mean, sir? You hear that? Now, if God shall take that away from you, sir, that'll stop in my hand like this. What a difference between the two hands, isn't it? Now, you just watch my hand. It's you, the patient here. You watch my hand. If it clears up like this, I won't move it. And if it clears up like this, that's your witness. Something happened that morning. You see that something materially happened. Now, bow your head, everybody. Almighty and all-infinite God, you're the one who made heaven and earth. You made the body of man. And this demon is trying to take this young man's life. Oh, Jesus, you're here to help him. Help, Father, and may they know down in their people and amongst their neighborhood that thou art Christ and I be thy servant. Lord. Therefore, I come to meet this demon in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of him, thou demon of tuberculosis, I adjure thee by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Leave the man. Before I raise my hand, sir, open my eyes. My hand's turning white, isn't it? All right, now, there it is. Now, you audience can raise your hand. Now, sir, you know I never moved my hand at all. It stayed right that same way, hasn't it? And it was red all over with white spots over. Is that right? Coming and going. Now, it looks just like that in there, doesn't it? Now, something natural happened, doesn't it? The vibration stopped. Now, if you believe with all your heart, just break yourself up, go down the street rejoicing, testifying of God healing you, you'll be a well man. God bless you, my friend.
which in Carolina you just want to believe now. These are being healed right along as they go through, and you'll be healed too just when you get here. Hold your peace.
Now, everybody, how many civilians are left to be prayed for? Let's see how many civilians. Now, let's see. Now, do you people have got to pray for your church now? It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock. I get this night watch right. Is that about right? At 5 o'clock. Say, while I've got the opportunity, I want to thank Brother Faulkner, Brother Outlaw, Brother Garcia, Brother Fuller, this brother, I can't think of your name, for Truman, and the various other men. Ballard, Brother Ballard, and all the reps, Brother Garcia, and all, here's Brother Garcia sitting behind him, and all of these cooperating ministers everywhere.
Brother Demon from Mesa.
Brother Demon from Mesa. Where's this is? Right here with the camera. That's fine. We want to thank him. All of these brothers and all you members and everything for cooperating with us here in the Phoenix meeting. Let's all give those ministers a hand. Everybody, come on. They're worthy of a good hand of praise. That's right. I'm sure glad that you got ministers like that here in Phoenix. I hope you have great union revivals and fill these auditoriums and everything full of people and get people down to the altar. I talked to Brother Sherry. There's another man I don't want to leave out. Listen, I think Phoenix is blessed with a man like John Sherry. What do you all think about it? Amen. Is that right? Let's give him a hand, Jesus. He's been a brother to me. That's right. That's very easy. And now, yes, Brother Gibson, I couldn't forget his wife. That's right. He's a lovely little character that doesn't have nothing to say but just, well, she's a well-cooked, and she's been to me like a sister and like a brother, and I'm very thankful for them and their little children. Well, in fact, this, I thank God for all of you. Very fine. And I'm certainly thankful to see this welcome in spirit here this afternoon. When it comes to a place where you have to believe, in or out, that's when the Lord will come down. Is that right?
Yes.
And I'm just thankful, friends, this has been the greatest meeting that we've had in Phoenix, this meeting now. Right. I just keep your heads bowed, and we're just going to try to pray for everyone. Now, you don't be late at your church. You have to go to church, you get right on. Don't miss your church now. But if you can stay, not going to church, or you just stay on, stay a little longer, just make yourself welcome. Remember, till we meet, God bless each one of you. Now, while you pray, keep on with your music, if you will, sister. God bless this woman. I pray that you will heal her, Father, of this trouble in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go get well now. God, have mercy on her. Oh, wait, she's got more than a feeling. Oh, sister. I won't tell you what it is until after I get through praying for you. You believe? Almighty God, have mercy upon the woman and heal her body. Thou demon, come out of her. I adjure thee by Jesus Christ. If you keep that faith now, sister, it stops, you see. You have grown. You're not scared now. You know you're going to get well, do you? Cancer. You haven't sufficient that. I just go on believing. I'm here with cancer. And here the little boy has got pneumonia, on virgin pneumonia, sending his little handkerchief to be prayed over. Father, we're taught that they're taken from the body of Paul, handkerchiefs or aprons, and we know we're not the Saint Paul, but we realize it wasn't he anyhow that done the healing. It was your spirit that went before and stirred the faith of the people. Now, I send this handkerchief this afternoon to that little boy for the healing of his body in the name of Jesus Christ. May he and his mother be healthy and happy many, many years for your glory. Amen. Let's go rejoicing now, sister. God bless you. Oh God, have mercy upon our dear sister and heal her. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't worry, sister, you go get well. God bless you, little girl. Mm-hmm. Got up for him. All right. Where you go to Brother Garcia's church? Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't. All right, you believe in God, don't you? Heavenly Father, as this little lady stands here this afternoon suffering with this ulcer in her stomach, you're the only one who knows how to take it out. And she's come reverently, Father. And I pray that you'll help her. Thou demon of ulcer, I adjure thee to leave this girl in the name of Jesus Christ. little lady. You have nothing to worry about now. Your altar get wet. You'll be all right. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray for our sister that you will heal her body and will make her well. Satan, come out of the woman in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless her dear husband who's waiting at home. May when wife returns shouting and praising God for her healing, may he also rise and go to shouting God. You spoke the word, and that same hour he began to mend. Go, mother. Doubt nothing. Go rejoice. Oh, God, to this little boy standing here, I pray that you'll heal his little body. Whatsoever is wrong, thou knowest. And I pray that you'll make him well, Father, in Jesus Christ's name.
God bless you.
God bless this woman. I pray, Father, that you will heal her body. We see she's crippled up and being led up here by this girl. But thou alone can make her well. I pray for her. Pray that you will hear my prayer. And may Satan get this rebuke, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lady, how much you believe with all your heart?
Yes, I believe with all my heart.
All right. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you go home and be well. God have mercy upon our sister and heal her, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I ask for her healing. Amen. God bless you. Stop your vibrations from her. His name is Timmy Ford. He's been reflecting now. What it was, it was gone. The vibrations is that if you believe in
it, only God's
free. God bless you, Mother. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for this dear soul standing here with this cane in her hand, old and broken down in health, but thou art here to restore her health. I pray that you'll grant it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, Mother. God, heal this poor sister here, this heart trouble. Oh, God, this female disorder, thou knowest all things, the poor soul. She wants to be well. I ask for her healing in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, sister. Go now rejoice in you. Get well. God, I pray that you will heal our sister this heart trouble. Grant it, dear Heavenly Father. I ask it in the name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. What happened? Amen. Oh, the bone died. Now look, the tall one. 17, just a child. Where are you from, Phoenix? California. Now look, if you believe this with all your heart, you're going to serve God. That's what you want to do. Are you a Christian? You are. And you will serve God the rest of your life. If God will let that calcium begin to come back into your bone and life come there again, make it a normal bone, you'll use that leg not to dance, but just to go serve God. Is that right? You'll do it. Father, this young lady who's no doubt heard across the nation of the many things that you've done, and now she's had a wreck, and we're taught that all things work together for good to them that love God. And now the bone will not heal. It's dead in her limb. Oh, God, just a child. Have mercy upon me. She promised me that she'll never dance. And she promises you, Father, she'll never dance and you this way or nothing but for your glory. Now, Almighty God, you who are the whole resource of life, I ask you in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ, to start life in that bone this afternoon that she will be well. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Sister, as firmly as I believe that I'm standing here, the blessing of God has happened to you, and you will be a normal, well girl. What's your name? Rome. From what part? What part of California? Riverland, California? All right, would you like to watch out? Being in the body under 9 major heads. Remember that. We're close to that now. Now, you people ought to know it. I can't do this. And I'm praying now. I'm going to hold some of the ministers up from their meeting. And we're going to start praying for the people just a little more. Look, what is it, my prayer, that healed you? I've already prayed for you. It's your faith in God what heals you. Now, look, of course I do take the people here and cast out them spirits and things like that. You see it. And I've told you now there's only one time that I ever seen it fail in my life. That was 2 or 3 Sundays ago when I stood here on the pulpit and asked God if he just wants me to work them miracles, not to let them happen. How many were sure that day to see it? All right. That was the only time I have ever seen in my life that things wasn't healed when a couple times got on the pulpit. And I just have to let him stop me. When he stops me, I stop. When he doesn't stop me, you know what I promised him? How many remembers what I promised him? I was waiting for his witness. And that's right. I've done that since. And there's been 3 more miracles performed since then than there was before then. So I want to keep the favor of God. And you want me to, don't you? Every one of you wants me to. And I want to live a little longer. When you cast out one of those powers, brother and sister, it takes more strength out of your body than praying for 500 people. Something goes out of you. You just have to watch that. You find a good streak of faith, like that poor little boy while goes in there, little legs walking like that. And little fellow looked up at me, there's tears coming in his little eyes, kind of smile like that. Why, the faith was just moving. I know something had to take place. You see what happened? Sure, Satan knew that he had to give away. That little child wasn't callous like an adult. Now, you just have faith with a belief, and we're going to pass the people and get right through the line. I want to pray for each one of you. Want to pray, not just pass by and just not pray for you. I want to have a little prayer with you, but we're going to have to start a conscious walk like that. Now, ministers, you all get up here, some of you, if you will, and check some of these faces now when they come through. And if they don't seemingly get it, let's stand back. We'll do the best we can. All right. Now, everybody, just be in prayer. Now, you all just get lined up, or the archers will tell you there, and we'll start the line coming right through. Now, everybody bow your head while I ask prayer, so every one of you know that you're prayed for. Every one of you. Almighty God, I pray, you know, Father, that many of these people are waiting to go to church tonight. And they might have a loved one to get saved. And I realize, God, the brazen serpent didn't pray for anyone. The water that was troubled didn't pray for anyone. The woman who touched the hem of Jesus wasn't prayed for. The ones that laid the shadow of Peter wasn't prayed for. The ones that had the handkerchief taken off of Paul's body and brought to theirs wasn't prayed for. But God, they got well because they believed and recognized your gift. Now, Father, I pray if these people, not only here locally in Phoenix, but thou hast so ordained it that it's known worldwide now. And may they come through, not because it's your poor, or humble, or illiterate servant standing here, but because it's your gift that you have honored. And Father, thou knowest that nothing I can do about it. I never called this message to go over the world like this. It was you, Father. I just obeyed and done what you said, and you brought it to pass. Now, dear God, may the people see it's just simple child faith and believe and take you at your word. And may every sick person in this village, as they file across this pulpit this afternoon, may every one of them go home. As soon as they get out of this building, may they just raise up their hands and go to praising you for their healing, going down the street, testifying like Mary did, before she felt life or anything. She knew that she was going to have a baby, not know a man. Oh, the impossible, something that had never happened before, but she knew that it was right because the angel said so. And Father, I know this is right because the angel said so. And I know that you have declared it. If it wasn't so, you would have testified of it. If it had been a fanaticism, it would have fell shortly. But now thou hast spread it all over the world. Now, dear God, may these people see this afternoon and believe and come through this line, each one, and be healed and sit down in the next few days and write their testimony and saying, thank God for healing me. May it be an alarm all over the city, everywhere, Lord, in all parts of the country. I pray for every one of them in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, heal our sister in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, heal our sister in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, heal our brother in the name of Jesus Christ. May he be able to come out of his wheelchair or stretcher and go home rejoicing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You believe, sir?
I do.
You shall have that what you've asked for. It's impossible for you not to receive it. You believe.
God bless you, my dear brother.
God bless this little girl. I pray that you'll heal her, Father. Oh, Jesus, bless the mother. I pray for her healing. God bless our brethren. She just didn't know she's Spanish. She said it's hard to hear, and I know it's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What was that?
Oh, Jesus, I pray that you will heal my dear brother and make him well. May he go out of this building rejoicing, throwing his hands up in the air, shouting hard. Heal my dear brother, Father, I pray thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal this little boy, Father, of this bad eye, Father, in Jesus' name. Heal my brother of rheumatism in the name of Jesus Christ and asthma. Heal my brother in Jesus Christ's name, I pray thee, Father. God bless you, little boy. You're going to get well now after passing by here. Do you know that? You are. You're going to take the cast off the leg and you're going to be a normal well boy again. God Almighty, who Christ, heal his body. Meeting last night where he's broke his leg down past two. I didn't know the boy, but how did I recognize that face when he come by? How did he recognize that face? Well, the Holy Spirit's here, the angel of God. See? Look at his eyes now, how perfect. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. Some of them says, does it last? If you believe, as long as you believe, it lasts. Is that right? There it is. Oh, my. All the Phoenix people, give a big praise for that boy. My, that's fine. Watch his little leg do. Perfect faith while he received it. I wouldn't have had to say a word for him. Passing by would have done the job just the same. Going to be a well woman. Well man, I mean. All right, bow your head, everybody. Father, I pray for my sister in Jesus' name for her healing. I can dream everything. Without even eyes. How's it stand daily? All right. Let's bow our heads now while we pray for him. Kind of nervous, aren't you, young man? Dear Heavenly Father, they're from many miles away. You're willing to be flying over that lovely state a few days. And I pray, Father, that you will heal this brother. And when he returns back there, may he go rejoicing. May this nervousness just quieten down and may go out on the street as I serve it. Testifying, telling the people, I once was nervous, but look at me now. I'm well because the Lord Jesus has healed me. Satan, leave me in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, brother. Go rejoicing. That's right. You got a fine taste, young man. You're going to receive a blessing from God. Oh, God, I pray for this man who is your totally dead, they say. I pray that you'll give him his hearing this very afternoon. Grant it, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. Brother Hooper, I want you to check this man. Just let him stand for a minute. Give me the vibration of his hand. I want you to check him just a moment. And if he doesn't, let him stand there just for a moment and check it. Oh, God, have mercy upon our sister and heal her, Father, of this nervous and spleen trouble in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you, sister. Now go rejoice and go be happy. Oh, Jesus, I pray for our sister now that you will heal her. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Have faith now. Little sister, I had a brother. I lay in the hospital up there dying. He said he would never be well. He'd never get rain out of chair. He's an acrobat now. You believe God will heal you? You serve God to you. Assume you have good faith. Catholic. Most always Catholics are here because they see the vision. Heavenly Father, this little lady standing here with this rheumatic fever, and she's been taught, Father, to believe and to trust. And I pray now that you will have mercy and heal her. Satan, thy power of hell that has bound this child to take her life to cause her to go in this heart attack, come out of her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, little lady. And it may seem awful strange to you. Have you ever had fluttering in your heart? Fluttering spell. It hasn't probably gotten that far. My brother has 3 bowels in his heart. Now you're going to be well. Go rejoice. Oh, God, have mercy upon our sister with this enlarged heart. Thou alone can heal her. I pray that you will grant it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, sister. Say, I want to make a statement just now. There's a little Catholic girl come out here with spray for her rheumatic fever. I don't know where she went, but she was healed, yes. I just felt it come back across the pulpit just a few minutes ago. Where'd she go to? There's a little Catholic girl.
All right, sister. That's fine. That's the kind of faith I have. I felt it come back and bless you when you went out on the... You have a peculiar feeling, kind of an odd feeling when you come off in here. Kind of strange feeling. That's part of it. It left her right there. I felt it come back across the way. Now, you may think that's strange. You watch her if I'm not right. Let's say thank the Lord, everybody. I tell you, it takes the Catholic people to see the vision of it. You see, here's what is a Catholic. My people are Catholic. My mother, my father is. We're taught to believe what the priest says is right. And that's where this is in here. See, they've got to believe me. They believe God. How many believe God?
Yeah.
All of them, sure. Well, now, God's ability is not in question. This is whether the angel come and talk to me or not, see. The Catholics are taught to believe what their priest says is right. And when they see some of these things perform these miracles, they get healed. They all heed it with all their heart. And they do. By the way, my aunt, my great aunt, founded a convent in Montreal, Ontario. Now, bow your heads, everyone. How far are we down now? How many more we got to pray for? Let's see the hands go up. Hey, I'm good for all the time. I'm good for all the time. Well, brother, let's see what time. How many in here wants to go to church tonight and wants to be prayed for? Trying to get to church. Let's see if you put up your hand. Going to church tonight. Oh, my brother, we're going to have to do something about that. That's some of your people in there, too, aren't they, brother? Some of you ministers. Yours, too, Brother Garcia, I guess. All right, now have faith now. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless him. We're going to have to start. Oh, yeah. I see. All right, brother. All right, now go on, please. Now, I'll be coming to you. Brother Garcia, brother here, I can't get your name. I didn't know you was a minister, Ballard. Brother, all you, now get down along here, Brother Outlaw, and just pray with all your heart for these people and encourage them to come to you. Now, you stand here and call their diseases, brother, and you catch them. Father, heal my brother in Jesus Christ's name, my dear. God, heal this poor blind woman. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Mercy, sister. No more. Three years.
Look up for the knife.
Look out here for 2 5 seconds. See if you can look up. Believe not, you're going to get your sight. You shall have it. Are you with her? Your wife. Oh, God. Bless you, Father. This poor woman stands here. Amen. Have mercy now. May her sight come to her in the next few moments, Father. May she be able to see in Christ, and she'll have a witness at your hand. In Jesus' name. I keep your head bowed. Here's a dead woman. Shame. God bless my sister and heal her. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just a moment. I'm going to try for this one here. I feel them two spirits battling together over there. This girl's dead and done for today. She don't know what hearing her speech is. Now bow your head. Everybody be real ready. Just a moment. See if I can get it under her. Dear Father, this little girl, born deaf and dumb, we realize she don't know nothing of speech or hearing, but you're the only one who can grant it to her. Now help me, dear God. Help me to have power over this deaf and dumb spirit. Grant it, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thou deaf and dumb spirit, come out of the girl in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hear me? Hear me?
Pretty little girl.
Amen. I will tell you something now. Watch. Here's what takes place. I want to know if you all noticed this. We're fixing to go, you know, fixing going to meet. Have you noticed always after I ask the rebuke over the spirit, I'm always perfectly silent for a few moments. Who's noticed that to me? Have you noticed that? Now, here's what it is. There's three words that I have to repeat at that time. See? It's the three high words of the Bible. No mortal on earth, Lord. See? And when I ask that, and then I feel that drop, then it comes, shakes back to the face, and return of that spirit, then the person can heal. Can you hear me say that? See? That's what takes place. Now, I did that so you wouldn't be questioning me about it coming through the line, but that is true. Now, I know that you have noticed a lot of times when I ask the rebuke, and I stand still just for a few minutes and repeat these three words that the angel of the Lord told me to repeat. And if I feel it come back, then I know it's done. That's what happened to this girl. And that's the reason I never said nothing about it, because I knew she was healed. The power had gone from her. Now, of course, you don't know what speech is. You don't know what hearing is. You just have to begin like that. Did I tell you about 5-7 coming from the institution in Oregon and 5 of them passed through the California medical test? How many remembers that? I've got their pictures right there in my grip to show it, huh? Mark that on the side, heel, passed through the Oregon test and down through California. But the doctor went home, born deaf and dumb. Oh, my. He's wonderful, isn't he? Let's give God a praise. Thank you, brother. All right, bow your head, everybody, now, while we pray. Father, heal our sister in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you heal our sister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, heal our sister in Jesus Christ's name. Dear God, heal our sister in Jesus' name. God,
mercy
and heal you in the name of Jesus Christ. Give vent to that feeling you have out there. An odd feeling, isn't it? The angel of God is standing here, brother. You realize that your legs are short. You're even had a fever burning. Don't worry. Go on believing. You believe you're going to be well then now? You shall have it. Where do you live?
Glendale.
You know it?
No, I don't.
Glendale.
Yeah.
I don't doubt, sir. You're the driver? Thank you, sir. God bless you for waiting. Father, I pray in Jesus Christ's name that you heal.
No doubt, sir. Open it.
God, heal this woman, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And heal this man, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, I am the Father. Heal our brother, Father, in Jesus' name. You're done. Say, friends, talk about some faith. This little boy was standing here with pink, granulated eyelids. They disappeared from him. I can raise him right here before the people. There it is. Look at his eyes. Perfectly clear. Granulated eyelids standing on the platform. Friends, that's true. Do you know that God's standing there somewhere? The very angel of God. Go show that sick man laying there, honey. Go show him your eyes. That was pink a while ago, and now they're clear. Sir, here comes a little boy down to testify to you. Brother Hooper. That little boy with pink granulated eyelids is just now healed instantly. Now, I don't know how much you believe it, but a God who I stand before may take my life standing right here. This is true. When I looked at the little fellow just then, the pink place went right up above his little head and vanished away from him. That is true. Let's say praise the Lord, everybody. God, heal my dear sister. May she go rejoicing now and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. God bless you, sister. You should have that. A little girl with water. All right. Do you believe, sister, if I ask God, God will do it? Dear Heavenly Father, I'll lay hands upon this darling little girl and pray that you'll heal her, God. May she start from this very hour to mending, the head go down and be normal, and the child gain weight and be a normal child. I ask this blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't doubt. Is that your baby?
for your sister. You believe she will get well? I'd like to hear from her, sister.
Oh, God, I pray that you rebuke the granulated eyelids from this face. Come out of him, thou demon, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that one left.
God bless you.
Looky here.
Thank you.
Not a pit that's at all about his eyes. Look here, honey. If there's a doctor in the building, you can examine him freely. Run down, sweetheart. If you are a doctor, just come look at his eyes. As granulated as you want to go stand here apiece. Let's say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Were they brothers?
Yes.
They were brothers, the two little boys.
And that sister had
it. Is that right? Amen. Where do you live at, sister?
They live at college.
Is that right? Well, they sure have been raised around faith or something. Well, that's fine. They bring up a child in the way that you go. Is that right?
Amen.
Their mother was healed of asthma in February. Is that here in Phoenix? Right here in Phoenix. Healed of asthma. There you are, see, friends. Parties leave behind us. Footprints on time. Is that right? Footprints that perhaps another sailing over life solemn name for a forlorn and shipwrecked brother. See, should take heart again. Heavenly Father, I pray thee to heal this sister as she comes to with her gallant heart looking up to thee for her healing. Pray that you'll grant it in Jesus Christ's name. Bless this handkerchief, Father, to the people for the healing of their body. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am. Say, by the way, before I forget it, how many in here wanted a handkerchief pray? Or let's see, how many hands in here wanted one? I'll explain it to you. Well, you just write me now. Don't have a handkerchief in here because I don't get to pray for it. But mail it to Branham Healing Campaign. Post office box 325 Jeffersonville, and you will be sent a clause with instructions on how to use it. Every morning at 9 o'clock, put your hand over your heart, put it on prayerfully, the clause first, hit it over your heart on the inside of your garment, put your hand over your heart and pray at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Confess all your faults, one to another, call the neighbors, and pray and have prayer meeting. You'll get well. See, instructions will be sent. Just send in my name, Jeffersonville, Indiana, and you'll get it. All right, bow your head. Father, I pray that you'll heal this dear gray-headed mother. May the power of God that raised Christ from the grave bring her from this wheelchair and make her a well woman as I pronounce this blessing for her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. Wait, just a second. This poor lady, please.
Brother Branham, I went out and picked this woman up with strength.
God bless you, lady. I know there's a lady in there.
Yes, thank you, Bert.
Hallelujah. God bless your dear heart. You're just, you know, and you know you're laying down the light for hours. How I wish that there was something that I could just reach down and do for, you know, to just like pull it out here and say, here it is, this, and throw it away from you. See, wish I could do that. But there's only one thing that I know that will let you live. And you're very, very. That's why that faith is pulling to me. Now we're beginning to hit the right place. Nice winter. She was at Boonville, Arkansas. That's her. She was at Boonville, Arkansas when I was at Kearney, Arkansas. You people from Arkansas. This woman was, and she prayed that sometimes God would let us meet. And somebody went out and got her here. Where you set your down to? The Superior, Arizona. And God has permitted. I believe that this is the hour.
Amen.
Don't you? A little poor little woman laying here dying. Now, friends, even if some of you is waiting a long time, let me have just a moment for this woman, will you?
Yeah, that's small.
Little lady, God bless you.
How many children you have?
Two little children. My. What is your husband here with? God bless you. You believe you're going to get well if I'll ask God.
Ooh.
All this time you've waited. And dear sister, have you got one of my little books here, Jesus Christ, with me? Did you read it, Brother Graham? If you will, give it
I'll
to
have
me.
I'll have it.
And I want you to read little Georgie Carter's testimony. Only weighed 40 pounds.
a woman with two birds. And now she's my fiancée, and when I'm married, she's about 145 pounds. I have faith. I'm going to ask God with all my heart.
Yes.
Dear God, I don't know why when I look down upon that poor scene there, the next day, seen that little thin, delicate woman rolling around there on that plate, nearly dead now, and her lungs is about gone. The doctors have done all they can do. She's been in the sanatorium. And there's something about her, Father, that just attracts my attention.
Yes.
Her pathetic look, because she's sincere. She knows she's going to die right away if something isn't done.
Yes, Lord. Thank
you. Oh,
God.
Please.
Oh, before you, I bow to ask you with all my heart.
Yes.
Angel of God, you who came into the room that night and told me these things, I've tried to live true to it.
Yes.
No.
Oh, won't you please have mercy on this poor old woman.
Thank you, Jesus.
Show your great power, dear God.
Yes.
Not so much as the people have to see it to believe it, but for your glory and the sake of the children in this poor woman's life. Oh, help her, dear God. Hear the prayer of your servant when I call with all my heart, with all my soul, that you'll let her get well.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, may not hear from her. Now that she's beginning to gain weight and she's getting well. Oh, grant us, Father, she'll serve you all the days of her life. We'll testify of it whenever it's permitted. Do anything that we can to show our appreciation if you just spare this poor woman's life. I ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Good morning.
Come back down. And we got saved. You look farther for him when the demons call. Now you can do that. I believe it with all my heart.
Yes.
And you both serve me.
Go ahead. God, mom, get a letter to her. That's dead good, dear brother. May the Lord ever bless you for your gallantry.
Did you ever have your attention called to something? That poor little woman.
All right, bow your head.
God, have mercy. This woman here with bad eyes, faith cometh by hearing. And she's come now and even took off her glasses, for she believes that something's going to happen. Grandfather, may she not be disappointed, but be healed in Jesus Christ's name. God, have mercy upon my sister and heal her in the name of Jesus Christ.
Please forget well.
God bless my little brother here suffering with kidney trouble. May he get well, Father, and it's not bothering him more. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, you mean to go get well, honey, go on? Huh? All right. God have mercy on our brother with this arthritis. May he go right out of this building, stomping and jumping and leaping and praising God. I rebuke the arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Go believe you. For right on out rejoicing, she'll have it. Oh, God, have mercy upon our sister and heal her of this cancer. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. You believe now with all your heart? Be sure to testify and tell the people about God's glory. God, I pray that you'll heal this dear old broken down mother that's passing through the line now. I lay hands on her in the name of Jesus. God, have mercy upon our brother and heal him, Father, in Jesus' name. God, have mercy upon our sister, Father, and heal her in Jesus' name. God, heal this poor heart. Oh, Christ, take away all the misery, I pray, in Jesus' name. God heal my brother, I pray thee in Jesus Christ's name. Is that a point? What did you